by Kate, a small business marketing podcast. I'm your host, Kate Elfata. Welcome to another episode of 8 by Kate. Hey, Bella, how's it going?
Good. How are you?
Good. I'm super excited. Today on our Enter the Expert, we have Steve DeMayo. Excited that he's going to share his wisdom with us. He'll be giving us 8 rules for branding. Bella, tell our listeners about our guest today.
Yeah, absolutely. So Steve DeMayo is a creative director and copywriter with a 35 plus year history of award-winning, results-driven work in the advertising industry. Throughout his career, he has developed a strong conceptual development and strategic creative approach for digital, integrated marketing campaigns, advertising, broadcast, branding, content strategy, and development. His experience includes working on accounts and consumer brands, hospitality, retail, pharmaceutical, and business to business. He is a managing partner, founder, and creative director at Pine, an ad agency located in Philadelphia. Steve also teaches advertising at Temple University. Go Owls.
Ooh, yeah, my daughter, Claudia, who's also works here at HOM, she is a Temple grad.
Yay.
So first of all, 35 plus years. So what are you? Did you start when you were 10?
I love you already. Yes.
I just noticed that. I'm like 35 years. Okay.
So. Yeah. It's been a while, and you know, it's been interesting, to go through all of the changes over the 35 years, starting out when I started back in the day, advertising and marketing was the basic traditional stuff. It was print, it was radio, TV, newspaper, direct mail, those kind of things. And, it was really interesting to see all the changeover. When I started, there weren't computers. Yeah. I didn't work on a computer. I worked on a word processor, a typewriter, and then moving into computers, and then computers led to the web, and then web led to, emails, and then social media. So it's been really interesting seeing all of those changes and knowing like kids getting out of college now didn't know all that stuff. So I like to infuse some of that traditional stuff into what I teach at Temple.
I love that. Yeah. My daughter didn't realize that there was a time where there were only 7 digits in a phone number.
Yeah. Right.
I explained it. She's like, what? There weren't 10. I'm like, yeah, there used to be only 7 digits. And that wasn't too long ago. So I understand that this stuff has really changed. And I am a lover of old advertising, by the way.
I think that's
what actually drew me to marketing to begin with at my very first business. I love everything vintage. Specifically vintage advertising. I remember one of my very first apartments, I think that was majority of what I had on the walls was like vintage advertising.
Yeah.
So that's super, super cool. Well, I'm excited today that we're going to be talking about these 8 rules for branding. Because you know what? I think a lot of people miss this today because they see so much content on social media and they think they don't need to address this before they start doing anything.
Right.
So I love that we're having this conversation and that you're bringing your expertise. So let's hop right into number one.
Okay. All right. So number one, see yourself through customers' eyes. I cannot stress this enough for anything, for advertising, for branding, for whatever you're doing. People want to know what's in it for me. I mean, basically, let's face it, we're all selfish, right? We want to know what's in it for us. If your brand is all about patting yourself on the back, no one's going to care. We're the number one Nissan dealer in the Delaware Valley. That's great. What does that mean for me? We have, more cars on the lot. We have more, we no haggle pricing. We do this, we do that, we do this. So for you, that's why we're number one. Okay, I get it now. But it requires you to know about your audience and understand what matters to them. And then to create that emotional connection.
And do you find that a lot of clients that you probably deal with think that they know? And then when you start having the conversations, you're like, you are clueless about your customer base.
Yes. Well, especially, companies and brands that have been around for a while and go, well, you know, we're doing fine so far. We've been around for 40 years. We're doing fine. So whatever's out there is fine. But it's a new audience. It's, you know, you have to think about it's new times and people are looking at things differently. And so it's not enough just to say what you offer. It's you have to really connect with the audience.
Well, I agree with that too, because you also have to realize that people are able to see everything now. It's yes. not like, remember the yellow pages, remember that I'm dating myself.
Right, right. right.
You know, you're going through the phone book looking yeah. something up, but now it's everywhere and people are yeah. making promises and commitments left and right. So you need to make sure that your messaging is clear to that specific audience. So
yeah.
I love
and
that.
When people are looking up, looking for you, you know, they're looking for something, they're looking for it on the web. They want to know that, you know, when they land on your site, you want to make sure that you are speaking to them and you are telling them, we have what you need. We see you, we understand you, and everything we do is for you. So you always see it through customers' eyes.
Yeah, and I also think doing it not only from the written word, but the visual.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So Bella actually did a great blog today about TikTok. And I'm like, well, that's like a whole different audience there, right? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And the content that you're distributing and what that looks like is going to be completely different. So it's sort of the same thing as far yeah. as not only the words, the written word, but mm-hmm. the image as well.
Yeah, totally.
Awesome. Number two.
Number two, understand the difference between a brand, your brand, and a campaign. And I think there's a lot of confusion as to what this is. You know, they, you know, brands will put out campaigns and base their whole personality around the campaign. But a brand is enduring. A campaign just targets a specific goal, right? So a campaign can change over time, but the brand is really based in the promise that you reinforce over and over and over with your customers. You know, the campaign aligns with the brand, but it isn't your brand. Your brand is the basis for all that you do and who you are and how you represent yourself in the market.
Yeah, that's even when we begin to work with people, we always ask for brand assets and messaging. Mm-hmm. You know, those are, we can't deliver campaigns appropriately via digital unless we have yeah. those pieces and those elements, which yeah. is creating your brand.
Right, right. You know, and it really is the philosophy behind the company, and that shouldn't change over time. Mm-hmm. That should never change. You know, who you are and what you represent and how you want to be seen by your customers or prospective customers, that's your brand. You know, you think about some of the biggest brands. Nike has always been true to their brand, who they are. You know, Just Do It has become synonymous with their brand. But if you look at their campaigns, they're so different, right? Mm-hmm, yeah. Their campaigns have changed over time. McDonald's, their campaigns have changed constantly, but their brand is who they are. They're, you know, their family restaurant for everyone to come and enjoy their food. I mean, it's you know.
I'm on a diet, Steve. You got to.
Oh, I know. Me too. And now I want a Big Mac. But again, that brand has to be an enduring representation of who you are. So it takes a lot more thought to come up with your brand.
Yeah. I mean, I always tell people don't skip that step.
Yeah.
You know, we work with a lot of startups. And we do see sometimes we're like, okay, and Bella and I will go off and we're like, I don't even think they understand what their messaging yeah. is. Or
yeah, right.
If you don't, yeah, it's hard to create campaigns, especially when, and sometimes I think people have great ideas for campaigns and they'll run it. And then we're like, well, this kind of doesn't go against your whole brand message. So yeah. it's probably not the best idea. So I love that you said that it should align with your brand, because sometimes good campaign ideas kind of will just go way off of what your whole brand is yeah. all about.
Right. Yeah. Exactly.
Well, we see that a lot with like copycatting. Like somebody will get an yes. email and we see this all the time. a clients will get an email and send it to us and saying, we should do something like this. And I'm like, right. No, you shouldn't.
Right. Exactly. And that,
I'm
that
sure you up, see that.
Yeah, I do. And in fact, that comes up differently. That's 0.7 when we get there.
Oh, okay.
Awesome.
I'm sorry. We're ahead of it. I'm jumping ahead. I don't play nice in the sandbox. Okay. Number three, give it to us.
Number three, understand that what you do or sell is not who you are as a brand. It kind of mirrors number two, but it really is, you know, you're not what you sell. What you sell is the outcome of who you are. So really, you know, who you are as a brand, what is your story? Answer the why. Why are you? Not just who are you, but why are you? And, you know, so this brand reflects your core beliefs. It's not the products that you're putting out or the services that you're doing. They are a function of who you are and what you do. But really, bottom line is who you are as a brand. Again, it's more than a campaign and it's more than what you're selling.
How do you, like, because you've been doing this so long, how, I know we find it difficult to extract some of that information from people. So yeah. I'm assuming you have the lay of the land of the stuff of how to get it out of people, because we struggle with that sometimes, and just understanding and having them articulate it.
Right. Well, you know, obviously companies love their products or their services. They love what they do. Right. And the thing is to find that passion behind the love for what they do or what they're making. Find why they love what they do. Find out why they appreciate when they hear great feedback from clients or customers. You know, what is the inner passion that they have? That's where the brand comes from. It's not the love for what they're doing, but it's the passion behind what they're doing.
Okay. Yeah. So I love this, because I'm hoping everyone's listening and small businesses are actually listening to this and taking, they should be writing this all down, by the way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, like it's basically like the reasoning, like what's the reason for this? Why are you doing it?
That why. Answer that why. You know, and the why could be a great story. You know, I mean, you know, businesses that have been around for years and you know, they have immigrant story. They came, they opened this store and it's grown. And now the son and the grandson have taken over, the granddaughter. And, you know, there's a story there and there's a love for that story and why you're doing what you're doing. And not just like the thing that you're selling. It's why that passion. And that's where you have to get, you know, really get in deep. And I think, you know, a lot of times it takes, maybe it just takes sitting down and asking them a series of questions, doing kind of a focus group with the people in charge and just really hammering home that getting behind the obvious.
I love that. I love that. Okay. Number four.
Number four, think long term. So as I said before, you know, the brand is enduring. So what you really need to look at is not just who you are now, but who you want to be. And will that branding decision that you make now fit into the goal, your goals and customers' lives in the future? It's not easy. It's not easy. But generally, you know, when you can boil it down to a couple of statements, when you can boil it down to some really powerful words, that are enduring and that matter and that matter to you. And you feel like these are the things that behind that brand, this is what I really want to be from now on. This is who I want to be. This is how I want to be perceived. So you have to think more than just where we are now as a business.
Yeah. I mean, we actually have had a few clients that have come at us and said, we think we're going to rebrand. And we're like, no.
Yeah.
Like it's never not the time to do that.
Yeah. Yeah. But
I think it's hard too for people. I mean, just with the pandemic and this is just coming from my own perspective too, is like long-term with your business. I mean, things have changed so much. So it kind of does change, you know, your timeline for your business. Like, okay, well now I might have to, depending on what type of business you have, you kind of have to change things because of what just happened with the pandemic.
Yeah. I'll give you an example of something I saw. I actually, last night I went to dinner with my pops, and there's this local bar around where he lives, and they have this huge billboard like on a main highway, and it says smoking inside. And I'm like,
oh, geez.
Who would have ever thought that they had to promote that they allow smoking indoors?
That's hilarious.
But I thought to myself, what a message, right? But think about it, they didn't need that message.
Yeah.
I mean, I know this doesn't really go along with number four, but I was just thinking about what Bella was saying about things are changing and things sometimes change in
totally.
But they're still the same pub. They're still the same bar, right?
But and people, a lot of businesses think, well, I'm redoing my logo, so that's my brand. And a logo is just a picture. You know, that does not represent who you are. You could change your logo, but it's everything that's behind that.
Yeah.
I've noticed. Yeah, people get really hung up on their logo, I've noticed. And I'm just like, well, that's so easy to just change. That's not going to make or break your business.
I always say you will never sell anything off of a logo.
Based on your logo. Right. Yeah. Unless you're like unless it's like clothing, I guess, but not really, because those change over time too.
Well, drop name, I get it. Like, like a Nike or something like that.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, but look at Pizza Hut. I worked on Pizza Hut many, many years ago. I actually worked on Pizza Hut when they were just introducing Pizza Hut delivery to the Northeast region. So I believe it or not. Remember when Pizza Hut was restaurants and that's the only way you could get
pizza. Oh, I love their salad bar.
Right? Right? Yes. And those red cups. but, and they've changed their logo several times since then, but now they're back to their original logo.
Wow.
They went back to the red roof and the, but the one thing that really hasn't changed with them again is what they stand for.
Yeah, it's exactly. I love that. Yeah. Okay. Let's get into number five. I love this one, by the way.
This is think holistically, and everything you do, every promotion, every post should align with your brand. I know I mentioned that earlier with the campaign, but we're talking about more than just a campaign. We're talking about pretty much everything. If you think about Apple, from the commercials they run to their website, to when you walk in the store, to when you leave with a product, to when you open that packaging, everything feels like it came from the same place, right? Starbucks, when you walk out with that Starbucks cup, you know where you've been. There's nothing. Target is the same way. Whole Foods. You feel it from in every aspect that they do. Some do it better than others. I look at Walmart with their advertising, and it's fun and it's upbeat and it's family friendly. And then you go into a Walmart and it's not quite, what you what you saw in the commercials. But Target is and Whole Foods is, and Starbucks. Those are the kind of things that make a brand solid, because when you're consistent and you stick with it in all you do, that's really, really important. And I'm talking about, every post you make needs to have a voice. It needs to have a stand for something. And you shouldn't break that, because inconsistency, you lose loyalty. Who is this? Who am I talking, who just posted that? Where did this ad come from? Or where did this, what is going on with their website? When you deviate from the holistic feel of your brand, people get confused.
Yeah. I mean, we work with, some influencers as well over the years. And when they work with big brands, man, do they have a laundry list of do's and don'ts, right?
Yeah.
Because they want to make sure, even though that influencer is sharing information about their product and they're paying for that service, they still have their, we'll call them brand standards, right?
Right.
Standards to the brand.
Exactly. I remember I was freelancing for a while at this agency that was doing social media for Applebee's. And let me tell you, people love their Applebee's. Like from the comments and, on their Facebook page and their social media. And I was doing a lot of their responses to, you know, just canned responses and writing a whole bunch of that stuff. And, you know, and I was given, like you said, a long list of things to say, ways to respond to complaints, ways to respond to positive remarks and comments. And it was, you had to stick to that standard. Because, you know, Applebee's has a personality. Applebee's has a brand that they want to stick to. And, you know, if you come back with a comment, even just a simple comment on their Facebook page, there's something somebody said about a store in, you know, Armpit, Indiana, you know, you're like, I can't answer like this. I can't be really honest and answer them the way I think it should be answered. I have to answer them according to the Applebee's brand.
Well, you know, in small business, a lot of small business owners don't, and I'm talking small business because that's basically what we deal with on a day-to-day basis. A lot of them don't even know they need that. You know what I mean? So we do have this kind, I know Bella does because she handles, you know, social media for dozens, dozens of clients where it's like, okay, well, what is your automatic replies? Or, and Bella can talk a little bit more about that, but a lot of times they're not prepared.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Exactly. And, you know, it is funny. I mean, with social media, especially, I mean, you have your fans, you have your loyal fans, you have your followers. Not always are they customers. You know, the trick is to make sure that you answer correctly, that you turn those followers into customers.
Absolutely.
Right. And I think a lot of that, you know, is who you are, and people like what you're posting, but does that mean they like who you are? And you have to make them like who you are to turn them into customers.
You know what? And I would even go a little bit further here and talk about like a personal brand, and it meaning a person or something. Mm-hmm. I know certain personal brands that I follow. I sort of know what to expect in a response from them too, right?
Yeah.
Like I've seen it a zillion times from them. I mean, people even say that with me. They're like, well, we know what Kate's going to do, right?
Right, right.
It's sort of the same thing. You know what I mean? It's establishing that so people have an understanding of who you are, whether they're a customer or not, but there's no like shock factor. Like, I can't believe you said that or did that or posted that.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. Right. Exactly. Exactly.
All right. Number six,
think about your personality. So this is a good way, a good exercise to help you get to the core of who you are as a brand. Like one of the questions I like to ask is, if you were a celebrity, who would it be? Or what mix of celebrities would you be? Would you be Tom Hanks? You know, everybody's father, everybody's dad. You know, would you be Lady Gaga, or would you be Samuel L. Jackson? Or, you know, I think this is going to would help you see the image you want your customers to see. Right. Because people are so into celebrities these days and, you know, so in tune with their personalities that if you can align with a personality, it will help you come up with that list of words that you would like customers to describe you with, you know.
That's actually a really good idea. Actually, I never really thought about that.
Yeah. You know, it is funny because I was in a new business meeting with a hopefully prospective client, and I brought that question up, and he was kind of like taken aback. He didn't know how to answer it. And he's like, oh my gosh, I never thought about that. And, you know, it took him a while. But, you know, after some talking and talking about who he is and what they're doing and what their brand is doing and what they're up to and everything, by the end of the conversation, he went, I know who it is. And he threw out a name and was like, that, okay, that's perfect. So it's not just tone. Like, oh, I love Lady Gaga, so we're like Lady Gaga. It's not like that. You know, it's not like that. It's got to be more about, you know, how you want to be seen.
Yes. And I also think tone, right?
Yeah. Like, oh, absolutely.
Like you could, I mean, I, right now I'm just hearing Samuel in my ear. Right.
Yeah. Right. Yes. Yes. And I'm sure that would work for some brands. Right?
Sign me up for that.
Yeah. I think I like resonate more with Tom Hanks personally.
But yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you know, when I was thinking about, we did this whole branding exercise recently for my agency, and you know, it was funny some of the names that came up, but you know, we kind of leaned toward Tom Hanks with a little bit of Paul Rudd and maybe some Michelle Obama in there, you know, and it's like, but it does help you. It really does help you think about, you know, who you are. But I love the idea of making that list too. How do you want to hear people describe you?
Mm. Yeah. You know, and it also identifies like how you can be relatable to somebody too.
Absolutely. Yeah.
You know? So yeah. I love that. Oh, this is awesome. Okay. Number seven.
Here it is. Be different.
No.
You know, your brand is your own. Your brand is yours to make. You make it ownable. Make it unique. Find out the difference. Figure out what your difference is, or create the difference, right? And that'll help you stand out from the competition. Just know what they're doing, right? You should always know what the competition is up to, but then do something else.
Well, you probably see this where you have clients that come to you and say, we want to do this. And they present you with something and they're like,
yeah,
we want it to look just like this. I'm like, what?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I do an exercise in class. Years ago, I helped launch a vodka brand, which is no longer on the market, but because it was infused with caffeine. Anyway, yeah, it was
a wide awake drunk. You gotta
it was an interesting, yes. Clearly, moderation was key with that. But anyway, looking at some of the vodka ads and the vodka brands out there, and how, you know, generally, I mean, if you're talking about a mid-level or, you know, ultra premium vodka, generally they're basically the same. I mean, they really are. But, you know, you go through a magazine and look at the ads, and I do this with my class, and I show a lot of these different ads, and they're creating differences. Right. They're creating differences for themselves. If you look at Sky Vodka, what immediately comes to mind is blue, mm-hmm. right? They mm-hmm. own that. And that's who they are. And they have kind of this cinematic feel to their ads and cinema, you know, and it's all about that blueness and ethereal feeling. You know, look at Grey Goose. They're the ultra premium and they're distinct and they call themselves the, you know, the vodka with distinction, and they own that. But really, when it comes down to it, can you tell the difference? Maybe a regular vodka drinker could, but generally no. I mean,
you know, what's kind of cool, what you've just identified, though, as I'm listening to you, is really a lot of this all starts at the brand development or business development phase, right?
Absolutely.
You need to identify. And that's where I think sometimes we struggle with clients, is because, you know, they have an idea or concept, or they've been, you know, kind of trying to do something with the business, and yet they haven't thought through these things. And so sometimes when we get a hold of them, now I have someone to send them to, Steve. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Because we don't want to do that. We want to get it when it's packaged, yes, and done. Yes. Okay. So, right. But that's really, really important, is like, hey, you need to kind of go back before you're putting the cart before the horse. You got to first do this step before you come to us. And
yes,
is really great. The vodka thing is a really great tool I'm going to use in the future, is to say, see how all this was started at the product development phase, and it wasn't an afterthought, right?
Right, mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah, and it's funny too, because in my I have a magazine from several years ago. It's like a PA Wine and Spirits magazine, and it was a special vodka issue. So there's like 25 ads in this, you know, 70 page magazine for vodkas. And it's just so fascinating to go through them and see how they're trying to differentiate themselves or create the difference. You know, there was a vodka called 360 Vodka, and it was, you know, the most, the most earth friendly, world, you know, green vodka. And the only difference is they're using recycled bottles.
Yeah.
So it's like, okay, but you found a difference. Right, you found a way to tell yourself.
Your spins will be in 360 when you get drunk. Yeah, right. Okay, so I love number eight, and this really, like, I think if you're starting a business specifically, you need to make sure you do this. So
yeah,
number eight,
hire experts. You know, I mean, you may think you know how you want to be perceived, but brand strategists and creative thinkers can see things that you may not, because we're coming at it from a different angle of view. You're so married to that business, and you're looking at it from your perspective. And sometimes you fail to see the bigger picture. And again, sometimes you fail to see, like I said, number one, you fail to see things through a customer's eyes because you have so much invested in this brand, in your company. And it's important to find that agency that understands you, that gets you, that understands your goals and your business, and not just, you know, my nephew works for this agency, we're just going to use them. Or, exactly. You know, my niece is graduating from school with a degree in advertising. She's just going to do my website for me. And that's what I'm doing. It's like, you need to really think about who you're going to work with. And I know it's an investment, but it really is an investment in your future. It's an investment in the business. And, you know, you have to find somebody who you get along with and who gets you.
Yeah, I mean, we do that here too. Like, we always tell clients that we want to work with people that want to do the work, right? Like, yeah. We're not button pushers. And a lot of people come to us and they just want us to post stuff on their social media all day. Well, that's not what we do.
Right.
We can hire a virtual assistant for that, right?
Yeah.
So we want people that are in it. And, you know, we're a team. We're a part extension to your marketing team. So
that's it.
Yeah.
The partnership is so important, you know, and I don't want to make this an ad for my agency, but like the way we approach it is we really like to become part of the business and to really see things, see what you're doing on a regular basis. We're not just, like you said, we're not just clicking the keys and you know, taking orders. And you can get anybody to take orders.
Yeah. Listening to them and collaborating. Yeah.
And coming up with thoughts and saying, hey, do you ever think of doing this? Or, you know, how about I look into this for you? I think this would be a great idea for you. You know, that's what you're going to get from the experts. And I think even for a small business, we work with some small businesses, and there's nothing like it when you're helping a business grow. And, you know, we're a small business ourselves. So it's let us help you. And we really do help each other. You know, the better you look, the better we look.
Yeah, absolutely. I love that. Hire experts, people.
Yes.
That should have been number one, Steve, honestly.
Okay.
Well, thank you so much, Steve. I appreciate thank you. It.
This was great.
Absolutely. Steve, can you tell everyone where they can find you online, on social media, and where they can find Pine?
Sure. You can find Pine at pinephilly.com. We are on LinkedIn, Pine Philly. We are on Facebook and Instagram. We love our Instagram, and we love posting fun stuff on our Instagram. So, check it out. Pine Philly. And I can be reached, steve@pinephilly.com.
Awesome. Steve, thank you so much.
Thank you, Kate. Thank you, Annabella.
This is definitely, this probably should have been one of our first podcasts, honestly.
Yeah.
Because I really think that businesses really need to hear these things. So thank you so much. Hey, Bella, can you tell us what we have next week?
Absolutely. So next week, we are going to be sharing 8 tips on how to grow your Instagram account.
Awesome. Well, thank you again, Steve, Bella, as always. Until next time, happy marketing.